This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. In today's session of Qareeb Mujib, inshallah, we will go over the meaning of Dua Qunut, or the Dua of Witr, which we learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught some of his closest companions to recite in their Witr prayer. And the Witr prayer, remember, it is the last prayer of the night, and it is also the best prayer after the obligatory prayers. Meaning the best salah which a person can perform, the most rewardable one, are the five daily prayers. And after that, the best prayer which a person can perform is the tahajjud prayer, the night prayer. And the night prayer ends with salatul witr. And in witr, we make dua. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught this dua to some of his closest companions, radiallahu anhum. So in hadith, we learn that Hassan ibn Ali, radiallahu anhu, he said that علمني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كلمات أقولهن في الوتر, that the Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم, taught me some words which I should say in the witr prayer. And in another narration, we learn that he said علمني جدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that my grandfather, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, taught me what to say in Qunutul Witr. So this is not just dua of Qunut, but specifically the Qunut of Witr prayer, meaning the dua which we should make in the Witr Salah. And what is this dua? He said it is Allahumma hdini fi man hadayt, that O Allah, guide me among those whom you have guided. وَعَافِنِي فِي مَنْ عَافَيْتْ, and protect me among those whom you have protected. وَتَوَلَّنِي فِي مَنْ تَوَلَّيْتْ, and befriend me among those whom you have befriended. وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي مَا أَعْطَيْتْ, and bless me in what you have granted me. وَقِنِي شَرَّ مَا قَضَيْتْ, and save me from the evil that you have decreed. إِنَّكَ تَقْضِي وَلَا يُقْضَى عَلَيْكَ, indeed, you decree, and none can pass decree upon you. وَإِنَّهُ لَا يَذِلُّ مَنْ وَالَيْتْ, and indeed, he is not humiliated whom you have befriended. وَلَا يَعِزُّ مَنْ عَادَيْتْ, and the one whom you have shown animosity to cannot gain honor. تَبَارَكْتَ رَبَّنَا وَتَعَالَيْتْ, blessed are you, our Lord, and exalted. And this dua, slightly different versions of it, have been reported in many books of hadith, including Abu Dawud and Nasa'i, as well as others. Now, first of all, we see in this hadith that Hassan radiallahu anhu, the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is the one who is narrating this hadith. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught him this dua. And this is this shows us the importance of this dua, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught this dua to his grandson. And you teach your family, those who are closest to you, especially your children, and especially your grandchildren, you will give them the best that you believe they are in need of. So these words are extremely precious. They are very, very beneficial for us, because we can only imagine that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would teach the most beautiful, the most excellent dua to his grandson for his protection, for his well-being, for his safety, for his benefit of this world and in the hereafter. And a lot of people, when they're praying witr, they don't bother to make this dua. Or there are other du'as which, you know, people have memorized, which, okay, in meaning they may be correct, but remember that the best way for us to worship Allah is to worship Allah in the way that the Prophet ﷺ taught us. Because one is that we come up with some way, with some you know, manner, so, you know, some words, and we can come up with the best that you know, based on our knowledge, understanding, comprehension. But of course, the Prophet ﷺ, his knowledge, his comprehension, his love for Allah, his fear of Allah, is way greater, way better than ours. So the way that he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the standard for us. That is an example for us, and that is what we must emulate. And this dua, unfortunately, many people are not aware of it. There are, you know, they have learned other du'as, which, like I said, in meaning they may be correct, but they're not necessarily authentic. This hadith is authentic. It is du'a which the Prophet ﷺ taught his grandson. So we should also make a point to memorize this du'a so we can say it in witr prayer. And especially when you go to the masjid, you know, in the month of Ramadan, you're praying taraweeh behind the imam, you pray witr, and the imam is making this dua, and we just say ameen, ameen, we should know what we are asking Allah for. So I hope that inshallah today's session will help you not only understand this dua, but also memorize it, and then you are able to say it with your heart and your full attention. And in this dua, we see that we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for very important matters. We are asking Allah for guidance, for safety, for His friendship, for His blessings, for protection. And we also admit that all matters are entirely in the hand of Allah, and everything is subject to His command. So whatever Allah wills occurs, and whatever Allah does not will cannot occur. So in this dua we say, first of all, Allahumma hdini fi man hadayt. That, O Allah, guide me among those whom you have guided. Here, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, but guidance which is complete and beneficial, because that is real guidance. And complete and beneficial guidance is that a person, the slave, knows what the truth is and then also acts according to it. Guidance is not merely that a person knows the truth and does not live by it. Knowing the truth alone is not guidance. Because if you think about it, Iblis, Shaitan, also knows who Allah is. Iblis also knows that the Day of Judgment is coming. Iblis also knows that, you know, people are required to pray 5 times a day. But his knowledge is of no benefit to him. So remember that guidance is not just knowing the truth, knowing who Allah is, knowing what the Quran says, knowing what the Prophet ﷺ taught, knowing that there is such and such dua which a person can say at such and such time, and this is the benefit, or this is a dhikr, and that is the benefit. Knowledge alone is not guidance. Remember that. Guidance is complete when a person also acts upon that knowledge. So for instance, in these classes, alhamdulillah, we're learning about many du'as, many adhkar, and the benefits associated with these you know, acts of worship, how they bring about forgiveness and so much reward. But if we do not act upon this knowledge, then we have not obtained guidance. We have not obtained guidance. Hidayah, complete hidayah, is when ilm and amal are combined in a person. When a person has knowledge of the truth and they're also able to act by it. And if a person is doing a lot of actions, you know, where they think that they are worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they're worshiping Allah without any knowledge, then that is also incomplete guidance. Because when a person does not have knowledge of the truth and they're acting by their whim or by their imagination, or just according to their own logic, then they could be making serious errors. So complete hidayah is when knowledge and action are combined for a person. And this happens with the tawfiq of Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person the ability to learn the truth, to accept it, and to follow it, to live by it. So we ask Allah, Allahumma hdini fi man hadayt, that, O Allah, guide me among those whom you have guided. Grant me complete guidance. Grant me knowledge that is beneficial, and grant me the ability to do righteous action also, such action that you will be pleased with. And hidayah also includes hidayah tathbit, the hidayah of consistency, that a person is able to remain firm on the truth, on righteous action. Because remember that the actions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves are those which are consistent, even if they may be very little. So in the month of Ramadan, for example, a lot of people, they begin doing certain adhkar in the day, in the night, in the morning, in the evening. They make a habit to recite Quran every day. They make a habit to seek forgiveness, multiple times a day. They make a habit to, pray Qiyamul Layl, to recite Quran, to give sadaqah. And alhamdulillah, all of that is excellent, that we, are paying attention to increasing in good deeds. But remember that after the month of Ramadan, we should not become such that days and weeks and months go by and we have not even recited any portion of the Quran. Or days and weeks go by and we have not done any adhkar. Or we don't give sadaqah. We have to have consistency also. And consistency, this is also with the tawfiq of Allah. Of course, you cannot be for the rest of the year as you are in the month of Ramadan, right? In the month of Ramadan, of course, you are excelling. You are putting in extra effort to increase and improve in your good deeds. And the rest of the year is not Ramadan. That is understandable. But it shouldn't be that a person becomes a completely different individual after the month of Ramadan. There must be some effect of all of the good deeds that we have been doing in the month of Ramadan in the rest of the year. There should be some traces. So there should be tathbit, there should be consistency. So Allahumma hdini fi man hadayt, that, O Allah, guide me among those whom you have guided, meaning keep me consistent. Grant me stability and firmness on the straight path, on righteous actions. And we say over here that, O Allah, guide me among those whom you have guided. Fi man hadayt. And when we say that guide me among those whom you have guided, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to admit us into the group of those people who are rightly guided, to count us among them, to give us their companionship, and make our destination and home where the guided will be, those who are rightly guided will be, and that is in Jannah, in paradise. وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. And how excellent are those as companions. So, فِيمَنْ هَدَيْتْ, count us among them, make us among them, grant us their company. So, اللَّهُمَّ اهْدِنِي فِيمَنْ هَدَيْتْ. And we see that all of the prophets of Allah, in many of the du'as of the prophets of Allah, in fact, in the Qur'an, we learned that they prayed for righteous companionship. وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. Join me with the righteous. Keep me among the righteous. And this was their dua for Jannah, because Jannah is the home of the righteous. So Allahumma hdini fi man hadayt. And think about it. In the world, there are so many people at this very moment, but not everyone is guided. Not everyone is upon the truth. Not everyone is doing those things which are pleasing to Allah. Not everyone is counted among the believers, the pious, the righteous. So we're asking Allah that, O Allah, count me among the guided, the righteous, those who fear you, those whom you love. Allahumma hdini fiman hadayt. And this is a form of tawassul also, that, O Allah, you have guided so many slaves among your creation purely as a favor on them. So just as you have guided them, guide me too. Just as you have bestowed your favor on them, bestow it on me also. Allahumma hdini fi man hadayt. And you think about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the righteous people. So you look at them, you read about their lives, you get so inspired by their piety, by their worship, by their dedication, by their sincerity. So here you are asking Allah that Ya Allah, you favored them, you showed them the way, you gave them the ability. So give me the ability also. Allahumma hdini fiman hadayt. You know, sometimes when we read about the lives of the righteous or the kind of great things that people before us have done, then we think that I am not worthy. No, you are worthy. They weren't superhuman. They were also human beings, and they were able to go so far because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them tawfiq. He enabled them. He showed them the way. And if He showed them the way, then He can also show you the way. So Allahumma hdini fi man hadayt. And when we say fi man hadayt, and oh Allah, guide me among those whom you have guided, we are basically acknowledging the fact that that Allah, you are the source of guidance. So there is no one who is guided except that you have guided them. So guide me also. Those who are guided because you gave them that guidance. Allah is the source of guidance. So, Ya Allah, you guide me too. Allahumma hdini fi man hadayt. And look at how the dua begins with the prayer for guidance. Because guidance, as we learned earlier, is the most important thing that a person needs in this life. Guidance is more important than food. It is more important than sustenance. Why? Because when a person has hidayah, then they will become of the muttaqeen, those who are righteous. They will have taqwa. When they have taqwa, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide them from where they cannot even imagine. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of their affairs. So this is why in every salah, we say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. And we end the night prayer by saying, Allahumma hdini fi man hadayt. We ask Allah for guidance again. Then we say, وَعَافِنِي فِي مَنْ عَافَيْتِ. And O Allah, grant me security among those whom you have granted security to. عَافِنِي, grant me عَافِيَة. فِي مَنْ, among those whom عَافَيْتَ, you have granted عَافِيَة to. And here we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection, for safety of all kinds. And this includes protection from disbelief, from sin, from disobedience, from forgetfulness, from heedlessness, from disease, whether tangible or intangible, sickness, tribulation, or doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like, or leaving what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Yani all of this, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from that. And we're asking Allah for al-afiya al-mutlaqa, yani absolute, all kinds of safety and protection. And remember that true safety, true well-being is that a person is protected from the diseases of the body and the diseases of the heart. What harms us in our dunya and what harms us in our deen. What harms our body, our physical, external circumstances, and also what can harm our inner being, our heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who truly guards and protects His slaves. And as human beings, we're always vulnerable. We're always in danger. And you think about it, we can fall ill. A person can end up in a coma just because of inhaling something, subhanallah. Imagine if a person gets sick because of a cough, for instance, or a cold, and because of that, there's high fever, and that high fever can lead to so many complications in the body. It can literally lead a person to death. So physically, we are very vulnerable. We are extremely weak. And otherwise, also in our circumstances, يعني anything can happen at any time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us that do you feel secure that you know the one that something can come down on you from above, or something can come and destroy you from beneath your feet, or in your circumstances slowly, gradually, you know, things can become really difficult for you. So we are desperately in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection, and protection of all kinds: physical, financial, emotional, spiritual, mental, in our deen, in our dunya, you know, for ourselves, our children. So wa'afini fi man 'afait, O Allah, protect me among those whom you have protected. And this shows us that no one is protected unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them that protection. No one is safe unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves them. So wa'afini fi man 'afait. And again, this is tawassul, that O Allah, you have protected and saved and healed so many of your slaves. You have granted them well-being against disease, against harm, against danger. So just as you have protected them, protect me also. وَعَافِنِي فِي مَنْ عَافَيْتْ. Now, out of all the dangers that, you know, we could fall into, remember that the most dangerous thing for a person is actually the diseases of the heart. The diseases of the heart are far more serious than diseases of the body. And we need protection against diseases of the heart more than we need protection against the diseases of the body. Because the body is going to finish. Eventually, the body is going to die. The soul lives on. What we do, what we experience, what we keep in our heart, that will live on. And that is what our eternity, our afterlife is based upon. So we ask Allah to protect us over here against especially diseases of the heart, spiritual ailments. And this is why in dua we learn, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مُصِيبَتَنَا فِي دِينِنَا, that, O Allah, do not make our musibah, our calamity, in our religion. Yani, when you test us, do not test us through our religion, because that is the greatest trial. It's the most difficult one, the most dangerous one. And the diseases of the heart, remember, they are of two kinds. The first type of diseases of the heart are those which are related to shahawat, desires. And they originate from a person's likes and dislikes and their untamed desire. And the other type of diseases of the heart are those which are related to shubuhat, doubts and uncertainties, which come about because of ignorance, when a person is unaware, when they don't know the answers. So, wa'afini fi man 'afait, Ya Allah, protect me, protect my heart against sickness, against disease. You see, for example, the desire to backbite, the desire for what someone else has, okay, greed. These are diseases of the heart. Hasad, envy, anger, all of these are diseases of the heart. So, wa'afini fi man 'afait, you see someone who has such good self-control, who has such excellent, you know, self-discipline, or you know, when they're worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can see that they have so much khushur. They have so much determination and so much focus that they can, you know, for example, you go to the masjid, you see someone praying all 8 rak'at, all 20 rak'at, mashallah. Or you see someone who is doing irtikaf and you look at yourself that I don't even have the patience to sit after salah and make dhikr. You know, subhanAllah 33 times, alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times. I get tired of doing that. I don't have the willingness to do that. Because we have a problem. There's someone whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted safety from the diseases of the heart. So here we're asking Allah, Ya Allah, just as you have protected them, protect me too. Just as you have given them the ability to worship you, give me the ability to worship you in an excellent way also. So, afia, remember, this is one of the best things that we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Why? Because when a person has afia, safety, well-being, protection, then they are guarded against every evil and everything that can lead to evil as well. So remember that afia is a very comprehensive word that includes the meaning of, you know, being safe and free from every kind of evil and its cause. We learned that a man said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that, O Messenger of Allah, teach me a dua that I can benefit from. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, say, Allahumma afini min sharri sam'i wa basari wa lisani wa qalbi wa min sharri maniyyi. That, O Allah, protect me, grant me afia, afini. Protect me from the evil of my ears, my hearing, and the evil of my eyes, my vision, the evil of my tongue, the evil of my heart, and the evil of my my sperm. So here, this dua is so beautiful that, O Allah, protect me from the evil of my ears. What is the evil of the ears? That a person listens to something that they're not supposed to, or they are tempted to listen to, for example, someone's private conversation. And then sometimes what happens is that you hear something, you overhear something, and then you just form an assumption, you form a judgment. And then based on that assumption, you are getting angry, you are getting frustrated, you are boiling up from the inside, or you are filled with fear. So often it happens that because of what we hear, we put ourselves in so much difficulty. Or sometimes you hear something, unintentionally, and then what happens? For example, a verse of a song, and then it just keeps repeating in your head nonstop. So, O Allah, protect me from the evil of my hearing, the evil of my eyes, that I see something I'm not supposed to. I look at something that is sinful. And then walisani, the evil of my tongue. The evil of the tongue is that a person talks about things that they should not be. They say things that they should not be saying. Their words, their speech becomes a hujjah against them. The evil of my heart, which shows that the heart can also have evil, where a person has jealousy or extreme anger or hatred or such bad feelings. So protect me from the evil of that. And also protect me from the evil of my sperm. This is protection against the evil of the sexual organ, where a person is becoming extremely weak because of their desire. And sometimes people fall into sin. Sometimes, people even within a marriage, there is abuse of some sort. Sometimes it's verbal even, of other kinds where people, a husband and wife, for example, become extremely angry with one another or hurtful to one another when they don't use their sexual organ in a permissible way or in a moderate way and things like that. So, وَمِن شَرِّ مَنِيِّ. So, Ya Allah, protect me from the evil of all of these things. We also learn that once a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that what should I say when I make dua? How should I call upon Allah? And this is hadith in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, say, Allahumma ghafir li warhamni wa'afini warzuqni. That, O Allah, forgive me, have mercy on me, and protect me. Afini, grant me afia, warzuqni, and provide me sustenance. And give me afia, وَعَافِنِي فِيمَنْ عَافَيْتْ, meaning protect me from all sorts of difficulties and trials and hardships and problems, whether they are in my worldly matters or in my religious matters. And we also learn that the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abbas radiallahu anhu, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once that عَلِّمْنِي شَيْئًا أَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ بِهِ, teach me something that I can ask Allah for, meaning teach me a dua. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya Abbas, salillah al-afiyah, ask Allah for afiyah, for safety, for well-being. So after some time, Abbas radiallahu anhu came back and he repeated the same question, alimni shay'an as'alullah bi. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya Abbas, Ya Amma Rasulillah, O Abbas, O uncle of the Messenger of Allah, Sali Allah al-Afiyah, ask Allah for Afiyah fi dunya wal-akhirah, in the world and in the hereafter. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught his uncle to ask Allah for well-being in this world and in the hereafter, safety and protection of every kind. And we learned that one of the du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say in the morning, in the evening, was Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah. Right? That, oh Allah, I ask you for pardon and safety every morning, every evening. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also said that, oh people are not given anything in the world that is better than conviction and safety, yaqeen and mu'afat. So ask Allah for both. Ask Allah to grant you conviction, and with conviction is safety of the heart, right? Safety of one's eternity, and mu'afat, safety, any overall well-being and safety against diseases of the heart, diseases of the mind, diseases of the body. And sometimes safety means that you are safe from the harm of other people. Sometimes safety means that people are protected from your harm. Sometimes well-being, afia, safety means that you are independent of people, right? That you don't have to depend on them, and that you are a means of bringing benefit to them, and you are not suffering at their hands. So when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afia, we're asking Allah to protect us from anything that can make us sad, that can upset us, that can anger us, that can hurt us, that can damage us, that can harm us. Now in this life or in the hereafter, in our worldly matters and also in our religious matters. So ya Allah, protect me. Allahumma, wa'afini fi man afait. O Allah, grant me protection among those whom you have granted protection to. Then we say, wa tawallani fi man tawallait, and befriend me among those whom you have befriended. Watawallani, this is from wilaya, all right? And wilaya is friendship, and it also means having charge over someone. So tawallani, befriend me, and take charge of my affairs. Fi man tawallait, among those whom you have befriended, or make me among those whose affairs you have taken charge of, especially. Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wali, and he is al-wali. He is the friend, he is the protector, he is al-mawla, and he is the protector of the entire creation, right? Mawlahumul haqq, he is the true guardian, protector of his entire creation. But the wilaya of Allah is of different levels. One level is the basic level is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he owns the entire creation. So whatever they have is from Allah. Whatever safety they have is from Allah. Any of their matters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of them. So for instance, no creature is there except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides it sustenance. All right. But then there's a higher level of wilaya, which is when a slave receives Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special friendship, special protection, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially takes care of the affairs of that slave. So Allah does not abandon that slave. Allah does not let that slave suffer. And this is what we are asking Allah for. And we're asking Allah for a tawallil kamil, for complete, absolute protection, safety, friendship, and help. And when a slave has that, then they receive not only the help and assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they also receive tawfiq from Allah, the ability to do good, and the ability to stay away from sin. And when they make a mistake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrects them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distances them from everything that is harmful for them. So for instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور. That Allah is the friend of those people who have believed, so He brings them out of darknesses into light. Allah is their friend. Whose friend? Those who believe. So what happens then? When they fall into darkness, Allah brings them out of darkness. He leads them to light. And this darkness can be the darkness of ignorance. So for example, when this person is in a situation where he is unaware of something, does not know something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows him the way. This darkness can be of sadness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings him out of that sadness, gives him hope, the light of hope. This darkness is of guidance, where a person, sorry, of misguidance, where a person does not know what the right thing to do is. A person feels lost. That how should I please Allah? What is the right thing to do? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him light of guidance. Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. We learn in the Quran, wa huwa yatawalla as-salihin. Allah befriends those who are righteous. Wallahu waliyyu al-mu'minin. Allah is the friend of the believers. Wallahu waliyyu al-muttaqin. Allah is the friend of those who are conscious of Him. So, وَتَوَلَّنِي فِي مَنْ تَوَلَّيْتِ. Oh Allah, befriend me and take charge of my affairs among those whom you have befriended. Yani, care for me the way that you have cared for others. Just as you have cared for righteous slaves of yours and your friends. Ya Allah, care for me also. Protect me, befriend me. وَتَوَلَّنِي فِي مَنْ تَوَلَّيْتِ. And when someone is a friend of Allah, Allahu Akbar, then what happens? We learn in the Quran that أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Unquestionably, the friends of Allah, they will be such that no fear will be on them, nor will they be sad, nor will they grieve. So this is what we're asking for. That Ya Allah, count me among your friends. Make me among your special friends. وَتَوَلَّنِي فِي مَنْ تَوَلَّيْتِ. And when someone is a friend to Allah, then Allah will protect him. Allah will help him. Allah will shield him against different types of harms and evils. And then we say, إِنَّهُ, in the version that I have right now, إِنَّهُ لَا يَذِلُّ مَنْ وَالَيْتِ وَلَا يَعِزُّ مَنْ عَادَيْتِ. That indeed, none can, لَا يَذِلُّ, he is not humiliated. Who is not humiliated? مَنْ وَالَيْتَ, the one whom you befriend. وَلَا يَعِزُّ, and he cannot gain honor, who مَنْ عَادَيْتَ, the one whom you are an enemy to. Meaning, the one whom Allah befriends, then such a person is not humiliated. And the one whom Allah becomes an adversary to, then such a person can never, ever find honor. They can never succeed. They can never be safe. إِنَّهُ لَا يَذِلُّ مَنْ وَالَيْتِ. لَا يَذِلُّ, يَذِلُّ is from ذِلَّ, humiliation. وَالَيْتَ, meaning the one whom you have taken charge of, the one whom you have befriended. So the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala befriends, then such a person is protected. Such a person is helped. Such a person is protected against sin, against harm in this world, against harm in the next life. And such a person is granted success in their matters. Such a person is granted honor. And the one who is humiliated by Allah, then such a person, they can never find honor in anything. They can try to find honor in wealth. They can try to find honor among people, but that honor is not going to last for long. إِنَّهُ لَا يَذِلُّ مَنْ وَالَيْتِ وَلَا يَعِزُّ مَنْ عَادَيْتِ. We say, وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي مَا أَعْطَيْتِ. O Allah, grant me blessing in what you have granted me. Give me barakah in the things that you have given to me. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for barakah over here. Baraka is al-khayrul kathiru thabit. It is such good which is abundant and it is permanent. All right? So baraka in something means that its goodness is abundant, not a little bit, but it is abundant. It's a source of a lot of benefit for a person, and that benefit is not short-lived, it is permanent. And it continues to benefit a person. So we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, grant me blessing fima a'tayt, in whatever that you have given me. Whether it is my wealth that you have given me, my children that you have given me, my home, anything that you have given me, Ya Allah, place barakah in it. Place barakah in it, meaning increase it for me. Make it a source of goodness for me. Benefit me through it. And stabilize this thing for me. And guard me and protect me against any harm that may be associated with it. We see that among people are those who have wealth, but they're not necessarily able to benefit from their wealth. They collect it, they earn it, they save it, they try to protect it, but then they're not able to use it. And they're not able to benefit from it. Why? Because there is no barakah in it. For example, a person saves a whole lot of money and their bank account is, mashallah, full, like a whole lot of money. But they're not able to use it. Why? Because they pass away, for example. Or they're not able to use it. For instance, that their accounts get frozen, or the bank declares bankruptcy or something. So these things happen. A person purchases a house, they set it up in order to live in it, they start living in it, and what happens? A fire or something, because of which everything gets destroyed, ruined. We hear about these things where a person has wealth, but they're not able to benefit from it. At a smaller scale, for example, you earn money, all right? You go to the bank, you draw out some cash, you put it in your bag, and what happens? You lose that bag. You lose all that money. You were not able to benefit from it. Somebody stole it, you lost it, or you bought something from it, but then that got wasted. And sometimes it happens that, for instance, you buy something to benefit yourself with it, but you're not able to use it. For example, you buy something to eat, for example, a supplement, an expensive supplement. But then what happens? As you have it, it doesn't suit you. You get more sick because of that. You buy, an ointment, a cream, something. But when you put it, it causes you to have a rash. So you think, this was a waste of my wealth, that I bought something and I'm not able to use it. So we ask Allah, وَبَارِكْ لِي فِيمَا أَعْطَيْتِ. Oh Allah, bless me in what you have given me, that my wealth does not go waste. And the biggest waste is that a person is not able to benefit from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given in a way that, on the day of judgment, these things are not a source of reward for a person. Because in the Quran, we learned that the day of judgment is such that يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, that it is the day when wealth and children will not benefit except the one who comes to Allah with a sound heart. Then yes, their wealth will be a source of benefit for them. Why? Because they use their wealth in a good way. They use their wealth in a way that will bring them reward on the day of judgment. So for example, they spent it in the way of Allah. They earned it lawfully. They used it lawfully. They used it with gratitude. They spent it in ways that are pleasing to Allah. They weren't stingy. They weren't wasteful. They gave zakat. They gave sadaqah. So their wealth will be of benefit to them on the day of judgment. So وَبَارِكْ لِي فِيمَا أَعْطَيْتِ. Oh Allah, bless me in whatever that you have given me. Sometimes you buy a car and that car is a constant source of problems, that it breaks down or it needs one repair and then another repair. And then one thing is broken, then another thing is broken. Yeah, Allah bless me in whatever that you have given me. And if you find yourself in a situation like this, that whatever you purchase or anything that you bring into your life, you know, it's causing more inconvenience than convenience. It could be a pet. It could be a piece of furniture. It could be a gadget. It could be a computer. It could be, some machine, anything that you get in your life. You bring into your life and it becomes a source of problems for you, inconvenience, then ask Allah, وَبَارِكْ لِي فِيمَا أَعْطَيْتَ. Sometimes it's not the tangible things, but it is our relationships. It could be the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in our lives, our co-workers or employers or employees or, sometimes a spouse, sometimes children, sometimes neighbors. Sometimes friends, they are a source of constant inconvenience for a person. So remember that our life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this to us once. And this is our only chance at worshiping Allah and earning His approval. And if our life gets, wasted in, things which are constantly causing us inconvenience because of which we are not able to do any good, then we should ask Allah, وَبَارِكْ لِي فِيمَا أَعْطَيْتَ, that Ya Allah, bless me in whatever that you have given me. We see among people are those who have children, but their children do not benefit them at all. They're not a source of blessing for them. In fact, they're a source of constant pain, constant harm. And when they leave this world, their children don't even pray for them. They, in fact, destroy whatever the parents have built, whatever the parents have done. وَبَارِكْ لِي فِيمَا أَعْطَيْتَ. Among people are those who have a lot of knowledge, but the impact of their knowledge is not visible in their ibadah, in their worship, or in their akhlaq, their manners, or in their dealings with people. Their knowledge only brings them arrogance. It does not benefit them. They fail to remember their knowledge, they fail to act by it, and they fail to benefit others with it. They don't teach it to others, they don't guide others with it, and this is great deprivation because such knowledge will become an argument against a person, not for him, but against him. So, وَبَارِكْ لِي فِيمَا أَعْطَيْتَ. O Allah, bless me, grant me barakah in whatever that you have given me. And you're asking Allah that, Ya Allah, make it good for me, make it beneficial for me, but also make it a source of make it such that that its goodness increases. So, for example, barik li fima a'tayt. For instance, you're asking Allah for blessing in your wealth, in your income. You could be earning a six-figure salary, but that would not be enough for you. It's possible that a six-figure salary is not enough for a person. And at the same time, a person can find barakah in very little income. Subhanallah. Remember that our needs are fulfilled and we have contentment and satisfaction when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants it to us, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places barakah, blessing in what He has given us. It's not by the quantity of what we have, but it is by the blessing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in the gifts that He gives us. So for example, a person can have hundreds and thousands of dollars, yet their needs are unfulfilled, yet they are unhappy, they are angry, they are afraid, they are worried that they don't have enough. And a person can have very little, and they could be extremely happy, very satisfied. There are people who earn a very good income, but all they can think of is their own needs, their own desires. That now I need to buy this, and now I need to get a new car, now I need to save for such and such. And they cannot think about spending on others, spending on their relatives, or spending on those in need, spending in the cause of Allah, because they don't feel that they have enough. And then there is another person who has very little, in quantity compared to the other, has very little. But from that little, they're able to spend in the way of Allah. They're able to help their relatives. They're able to fulfill their needs even. Why? One has barakah, the other does not have barakah. So we shouldn't just be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for more wealth, for more sustenance, for more life, for more children, etc. We should be asking Allah for barakah in whatever that He gives us. Because then the little will also be more than enough. وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي مَا أَعْطَيْتِ. Oh Allah, bless me, place barakah in whatever that you have given me. And then we say, وَقِنِي شَرَّ مَا قَضَيْتِ. Oh Allah, save me from the evil which you have decreed. Because all decrees, remember, they come from Allah. Whether it is something good or it is something evil, whatever that has been decreed, the source is Allah Azza wa Jal. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees anything that is evil for a creation, then that is because of His perfect wisdom. All right? So, وَقِنِي شَرَّ مَا قَضَيْتِ. And shar, evil, occurs in the creation in the form of, you know, different trials, hardships, problems, things like that. So we ask Allah to save us, to protect us from any evil. And we see that the Prophet ﷺ would make many different du'as in which he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect from evil. And this is a du'a, and these are du'as that we should be also making. So for example, Allahumma inni as'aluka min al-khayri kulli ajilihi wa ajili ma 'alimtu minhu wa ma lam a'lam wa a'udhu bika min ash-sharri kulli ajilihi wa ajili ma 'alimtu minhu wa ma lam a'lam. That, O Allah, I ask you for all good, that which can come to me quickly and that which will come to me later, what I know of and also what I do not know of. And I seek refuge in you from all evil, that which comes quickly and that which comes later, what I know of and I do not know of. So, O Allah, protect me from all evil. We should be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from all types of evil. Because truly, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guards and protects His slaves. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا. Allah is the best guardian. He is the best protector. And we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects His friends. We see how Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him when people threw him in the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Musa alayhi salam when his mother had to put him in the water. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Sulaiman alayhi salam, right? When there were so many shayateen, the jinn, right, who used to work for him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Isa alayhi salam from his enemies. So they tried to kill him, but they failed to do so. They did not kill him, they did not crucify him. So Allah is the true guardian. It is Allah who protects His slaves. And there is no evil that we can be saved from unless and until Allah protects us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed for each person angels who guard that person from before, from in front and from behind. Constantly, they guard that person at the command of Allah. And if these angels were not there at the command of Allah, then we would be in great danger. We wouldn't be able to survive. And when something does reach us, it's because that protection was taken away from us. So Allah is the true guardian. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects His slaves from all types of evil. Evil in the world, evil in the hereafter, evil in regard to their personal lives, in their deen, in every matter. Allah is the one who protects us from the evil of our mind, from the evil of our heart, from the evil of our wealth, our families even, or the people around us. So seek safety from Allah. وَقِنِي شَرَّ مَا قَضَيْتِ. And the thing is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed something, ma qadayta, then that will certainly happen, right? There is no avoiding it whatsoever. So It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can protect us against the evil which He has decreed. And if all of the people were to gather together to protect us, they wouldn't be able to protect us. And if all of the people were to gather together to harm us, they would not be able to harm us. Right? Except with what Allah has already decreed for us. So waqini sharra ma qadayt. Oh Allah, you protect me from the evil of what you have decreed. Power is in your hand. And then we say, innaka taqdi wa la yuqda alayk. Indeed, you are the one who decrees, and decree is not made against you or on you. Allah is the one who decrees over everything, against everything, or for everything. Nothing happens without the decree of Allah, because His judgment is absolute. His will is carried out. His power, prevails. His decree prevails. So when Allah decrees something, it cannot be avoided. إِنَّكَ تَقْضِي. You are the one who decrees. And then وَلَا يُقْضَى عَلَيْكَ. None can decree against you, because Allah is the creator. He alone is the creator. We are all His creation. So when Allah decrees something, none can repel it, His decree, and no one can decree anything against Allah. So we are showing our entire our dependence on Allah Azza wa Jal. إِنَّكَ تَقْضِي وَلَا يُقْضَى عَلَيْكَ. And then we also say, إِنَّهُ لَا يَذِلُّ مَنْ وَالَيْتْ وَلَا يَعِزُّ مَنْ عَادَيْتْ. That in the version that you see over here, that إِنَّهُ لَا يَذِلُّ مَنْ وَالَيْتْ, that the one whom you befriend, none can, that person cannot be humiliated. And the one whom you honor, the one whom you show animosity to, then that person can never ever gain any honor. So what this means is that honor cannot be sought except from Allah. And protection from humiliation cannot be sought except from Allah. Allah is the source of honor, and He is the one who gives humiliation to whom He wants. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. That, O Allah, You are the owner of sovereignty. You give sovereignty, You give power, ownership, kingship to whomever You will, and You take it away from whomever You will. You give honor to whom You will, and You humiliate whom You will. In Your hand is all good. Indeed, You are over all things competent. So this shows us that when a person is humiliated, then none can raise him except Allah. And when one is high, none can bring him down except Allah. And this humiliation and honor can be in worldly matters. And of course, this is in religious matters as well, and especially in the hereafter. The one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects and honors and befriends, then such a person will never be humiliated. And the one whom Allah shows animosity to, then such a person can never ever succeed. We learn that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحَادُّونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ فِي الْأَذَلِّينَ. Indeed, those people who oppose Allah and His Messenger, then those people will be among the greatest losers, the most low, the most abased, those who will be humiliated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. Allah has decreed that I will, meaning Allah will, prevail, and His messengers will prevail. Any honor belongs to Allah. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. All honor belongs to Allah and His Messenger, and Allah gives it to the believers, but the hypocrites do not know that. So, إِنَّهُ لَا يَذِلُّ مَنْ وَالَيْتْ. The one whom you befriend, O Allah, such a person can never be humiliated. وَلَا يَعِزُّ مَنْ عَادَيْتْ. And the one whom you show animosity to, such a person can never gain honor. And this teaches us that honor can only be from Allah. So let us seek it in the right way. Some people think honor and fame and dignity is in disobeying Allah. That is foolishness. That a person thinks that by disobeying Allah, they can become great in the world. That by sinning, they will become great in the world. By crossing the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set, a person thinks that they can become great in this world. Not possible. Yes, they might enjoy some greatness, but then forever, there will be humiliation and disgrace. So real honor is the honor of the hereafter. It is the honor of the deen. And humiliation, disgrace, is in the hereafter. Real disgrace is when a person is punished. A person is admitted in the fire. إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ That, oh Allah, whomever you admit into hellfire, then such a person, you have truly humiliated him. So remember that honor is in the hand of Allah, and He gives it to those who obey Him, to His friends. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who lowers and humiliates those slaves who oppose Him, who disobey Him, who earn His wrath. May Allah protect us. إِنَّهُ لَا يَذِلُّ مَنْ وَالَيْتُ وَلَا يَعِزُّ مَنْ عَادَيْتُ Then we say, تَبَارَكْتَ رَبَّنَا وَتَعَالَيْتُ تَبَارَكْتَ Blessed are you, our Lord. تَبَارَكْتَ يعني, you are truly great. So all greatness, perfect greatness is yours. And تَبَارَكْتَ رَبَّنَا You are abundantly, perfectly good in all of your qualities and in all of your actions and in all of your favors. يعني, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes are great. His blessings, His gifts, His ihsan is much. Tabarakta, He is the source of goodness. When we say Allah tabaraka, tabaraka wa ta'ala, tabaraka is what? Tabarakta, that you are abundantly good. All good comes from you. You are the source of much good. And wa ta'alayta, ta'alayta, that you are exalted, you are high. In the absolute sense. So absolute loftiness is for Allah in His being, in His power, in His status, in His position. He is truly high. So He is high such that He is above the entire creation because عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى And He is high in His قَدْر, in His worth, in the sense that in all of His attributes, He is perfect. So there is none who resembles Him in any of His attributes. And He is high in His qahr, so He prevails over everything. All of the creatures are under His control. Their forelocks are in His hand. So nothing can move, nothing can become still except by His permission. So tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alayt. This is how the dua ends. And after this, we send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we can make any other dua in witr. We can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for goodness in this world, goodness in the hereafter, protection against punishment of hell. Any kind of dua you can make in witr. We also learn in another hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to say at the end of witr, اللهم إني أعوذ برضاك من سخطك وأعوذ بمعافاتك من عقوبتك وأعوذ بك منك لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك That, O Allah, I seek refuge in your pleasure against your wrath. I seek refuge in your forgiveness from your punishment. I seek refuge in you from you. I cannot praise you enough. You are as you have praised yourself. So we can say this dua right after the dua of Qunut. And we can also say this dua after the witr prayer, meaning on concluding it. And in this dua, we are seeking safety, protection with Allah. Inni a'udhu bi ridaka. O Allah, I seek refuge in your pleasure, meaning you be pleased with me and do not be angry with me. أعوذ برضاك من سخطك that if I have done anything to anger you, then Ya Allah, you pardon me and you replace that anger, that wrath with your approval. إني أعوذ برضاك من سخطك وأعوذ بمعافاتك من عقوبتك. I seek refuge in your forgiveness from your punishment. Meaning, if I have done anything to bring about your punishment, to deserve your punishment, then Ya Allah, I ask you to protect me from that. I ask you to save me from that, that you forgive me, you pardon me, so that I am not so that you don't punish me. وَأَعُوذُ بِمُعَافَاتِكَ مِنْ عُقُوبَتِكَ. And this shows us that no one can save us, no one can protect us from the anger, from the displeasure of Allah, from the punishment of Allah, except Allah. You see, if, for example, your father is upset with you, then you go to your mother, right? And you ask your mother to protect you from the anger of your father. So your mother will defend you. Your mother will not let your father give you any consequences. Your mother will maybe, seek forgiveness for you, something like that. In the creation, it happens that when we are afraid of someone, then we go hide, or we go and seek protection from someone else, right? That you save me. We ask Allah to protect us from the harm of the creation. But if Allah is angry with us, if we have upset Allah, if we have done something to bring about His punishment, then remember, none can protect us, none can save us from Allah except Allah. So we turn back to Allah, that Ya Allah, you pardon me, you protect me, you save me. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْكَ. And I seek refuge in you from you. Meaning against, your punishment, your wrath, your displeasure, your dislike. Ya Allah, you protect me. So you make me, you count me among your friends. لَا أُحْصِي ثَنَاءً عَلَيْكَ. I cannot praise you enough. Because no matter how much I praise you, you deserve even more. You are Al-Hamid, the one who is perfectly always praiseworthy. أَنْتَ كَمَا أَثْنَيْتَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ. You are as you have praised yourself. You are perfectly perfect as you have praised yourself. I am not able to praise you enough. So this dua also we can say in the Witr prayer. Insha'Allah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.